Good evening, Lehigh Valley. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm your host this evening. And yes, this is the second time in November that you're hearing from me. But I had a great opportunity to share with you a program that I want all of the Lehigh Valley to be aware of. Before I introduce what that program is and speak to you with the individual who's leading the charge here in the Lehigh Valley, I would like to take a few minutes and ask you to reflect a bit with me. And I'd like you to reflect, and some of you may not have been here in the 50s, but back in the 1950s, a group of community leaders got together and they discussed what would happen to the Lehigh Valley if we lost some of our large manufacturers like Bethlehem Steel, like Mack Trucks, like Western Electric. What would happen to our employee base? Through those discussions and commitments of those community leaders, we had the introduction of what we now know today as Lehigh Valley Industrial Parks. Started out with Park 1, I believe we're now in Park 7. And it was because of that forward thinking of those community leaders that we were able to withstand the change in the manufacturing industries here within the Lehigh Valley. We're now going to fast forward to about 1990s, could have been of late 1980s. Again, a group of community leaders got together and they said, how do we begin to share with the world what we have here in the Lehigh Valley? How do we let them know that we've got this tremendous skill base, we've got this tremendous environment, culture? How do we share that? Well, we were pretty fractured. As a area, we were Lehigh County, Northampton County. We have 62 or 63 municipalities. We were all going in our individual directions. But those community leaders got together and they formed Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. And the goal 17 years ago when this was set up was to market the Lehigh Valley as an entity, whether a business located or expanded in Allentown or Easton or Bethlehem didn't matter. It was still helpful to the entire Lehigh Valley community. So a little bit of history. Now we're going to fast forward to the future. And this week, I received from the World Future Society their forecasts for 2013 to 2025. And they provided 13 of them, but I'd like to share a couple of them with you because tonight we're going to talk about the future of the Lehigh Valley. We need to have input from our community members about what they see happening for the Lehigh Valley's future, what they would envision happening in the Lehigh Valley. For that purpose, we have the lines open for phone calls tonight, and you can call in at 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and I will give you that number periodically. But let me go to that list, the World Future Society forecasts. First one on the list was electric cars powered by fuel cells will earn extra cash for their owners because they'll be able to sell back extra electricity. Think about that. We don't have that many electric cars yet out, but between 2013 and 2025, not that far away, that's a possibility. For manufacturers, 3D printing will revolutionize manufacturing. It's going to use a wide range of materials from plastic, glass, steel to titanium and allow manufacturers to do things in quantities and in research that they've never been able to do before. Listen to this one. This one got my attention. Robots may become gentler caregivers in the next 10 years. So we may have robots helping us. I know I need a robot with my social media and my cell phone, but and the last two I want to share with you are, here's one. The Internet of Things, and that was an interesting term to me. The Internet of Things creates a revolution of wired devices, thermometers, cars, light switches, appliances, homes all connect to their Internet with their own IP address. So you'll be coordinating everything through the Internet. Interesting. Shake up in the C-suite. Okay, if you're an executive, corporate futures will be shaped by leaders adept in social networking, content management, data mining, and data meaning. So no longer will there be administrative assistants to help us, or I think secretaries are definitely a way of the past now, but that certainly confirms it. And the last one, which I think will be very important to affirm here in the Lehigh Valley, is a handheld breathalyzer will diagnose diseases in seconds. So those are all things that possibly are in our future. Those are what the futurists are saying. But how do we bring that to the Lehigh Valley? Well, there is a program going on right now, and it's actually a grant that is funded by HUD called Envision Lehigh Valley. And with me tonight in the studio is Holly Ettinger. And Holly is the Director of Sustainable Development, and she is leading the charge with this grant and working with numerous organizations to pull this off. So I'm going to say, hi, Holly. Welcome.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you for having me on tonight.
I'm so glad you're here because I want to continue to learn more about Envision because it's so important to our future. If we can do like they did in the 50s and like they did in the late 80s, early 90s to help the Lehigh Valley get to its future potential, we need to do that.
Yeah, and one of the main important things is identifying what that goal was. That group in the 50s looked down the road and said, our goal is to diversify the economy. We need to bring in other employers of different sorts. And that goal led to a lot of economic growth in the Valley and mm-hmm. is probably one of the reasons we have such a great quality of life today. And so we need to pick those goals. And those goals need to be picked by the community at large. Okay. And so that's kind of what we're after.
All right. Well, we're going to get into some more of that. And we do want you to call in because Holly would like to hear from you about that. And again, that number is 610-758-8810. But let's first meet Holly. Holly, let's give our audience, listening audience, a little bit about your background because you have a varied background and it's pretty exciting how you're pulling all this together.
I actually grew up here in the Lehigh Valley and in the city of Allentown, but moved out of the area after college and spent 8 years in manufacturing working in New York City. And after I had my second daughter, we moved back and I kind of found my way into community and economic development. And for the last 5 years, I've been with the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. My role there for 4 of the years was the director of a land recycling program, so leading kind of a regional effort to revitalize and redevelop industrial sites like the Bethlehem Steel site and many others. And during that work, working closely with our federal partner, the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and the federal government kind of started talking to us about a new trend they were having about working across departments and across silos and working on having federal agencies coordinate to create more sustainability in our communities. And that partnership is called the Office of Sustainable Communities. And it's a partnership between the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So three large federal agencies, all with large budgets that are important to our community. And so when they talk, we listen.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, yes. And so give us a little bit of background about this grant that we received. It was last year. We're in the second year, first year?
We are in the first year. We're just finishing up.
Okay.
Yep. So this new partnership at the federal level of the EPA and HUD and the Department of Transportation came out with a grant program, which actually is running through HUD, but it was done in collaboration of three agencies. And the grant was to create a sustainable communities plan. And so the program came out in 2009, and the Lehigh Valley, we worked together to kind of make an application. And that process brought together the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, which Alan mm-hmm. is the director of, Wildlands Conservancy, our public transit agency, LANTA, the County of Lehigh, County of Northampton, City of Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, as well as Renew Lehigh Valley. And that was kind of the initial group. Mm-hmm. And we made application in 2009, but were not funded. but we did score well, and we were given preferred status and encouraged by our partners at the federal agencies to apply again.
Okay, now help me understand the term sustainable, because that gets thrown around a lot today. And is the purpose really that we're self-sufficient sustainable, that we don't need to go after federal dollars to help support us? Is that the goal of this? Or
well, when we talk about sustainability, I think the easiest definition for me is to kind of talk about the three pillars of sustainability. And those pillars are economy, so economic sustainability, kind of an economy that will continue to grow and not hit stumbling blocks. Environmental considerations, an environment that can continue to support us and not impact the way we grow, and vice versa. And then community. So the pillars of economy, environment, and community are all three things we have to consider as a community to be a sustainable community. And so you don't want to negatively impact any one of those things. And as we make decisions as a community or as a municipality, we need to think about the decisions we make and ensure that we don't have negative impacts in any of those areas.
The adverse. Now, are there any other regions, communities like us that are doing this?
You know, there are. We are one of 47 communities who received this grant program. However, this whole movement of sustainable communities, I would say probably the state of Utah, Sacramento, California, kind of out in front of this topic. And Utah, their program is actually called Envision Utah. it's kind of duplication, perhaps, but we're far away from Utah, so it's okay. And they kind of took a look at the state as a whole and said, we are expecting huge changes in Utah. And those changes are making us need to think about our future. And very similar here in the Lehigh Valley. We are expecting some big changes, and we've had big changes, and there's more coming.
Can you give a hint as to what the group is thinking of some of the areas of big change will be?
Well, I think the most striking thing to me, and as someone who grew up here, the Lehigh Valley currently has 650,000 people. And when we say Lehigh Valley, we're talking about Lehigh County and Northampton County, just mm-hmm. those two counties. 650,000 people. We're one of the top 100 metro areas in the nation. We're a big community.
Sometimes when Lehigh we work Valley together, and metro don't seem to go together. But
okay. I know. But when we work together, we have that power of 650,000 people. But in the last 20 years, the Lehigh Valley. So let's back. We were not that big 20 mm-hmm. years ago, and in the past 20 years, we've added 109,000 people in the Lehigh Valley. So we had a lot of population growth, and we've seen that. My aunt and uncle live in Macungie, and I will tell you, it looks very different around their house now than when I used to go visit them as a kid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we've seen that growth of the last 20 years of 109,000 people. What we're projected for the next 20 years is 145,000 new residents. So kind of a little bit of you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, wow.
Our region, because of its location, we have a great location in the middle of the East Coast, mm-hmm. Kind of proximity to a lot of wonderful natural amenities and cultural amenities, right? We can be in New York in an hour and a half. We're a great place to live, and people are moving here, and they are going to continue to move here. And so what we enjoy as a high quality of life, we have to think real long and hard about how we ensure that we still have that quality of life in the next 20 years.
And I think the difficult question always is, how do you preserve but also move ahead? Because preserving means that you can't stay as you were 20 years ago. You've in this world, you've got to move ahead, but you've got to do something so that you at least maintain some of that quality.
Yeah, and actually last night we had a public meeting in the city of Allentown, and one of the questions was, hey, can we maybe not have all those people move here? or the question was also that we get asked is, well, why and what should we be doing differently so people don't want to move here? And I think that's the wrong question to ask. I think we need to ask, how can we have people move here and have that be a great thing for our community?
Maintain.
And it is a great thing for our community. I mean, I go to conferences, community and economic development conferences across the country, and I will tell you the opposite problem. Population loss, like Detroit and other communities, is much harder to deal with.
Much worse to deal with.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're in a great position because we're growing our resident base, we're growing our workforce. That helps us be attractive to new businesses. So it's a good thing. We just have to plan for it. And this is a planning project that we're working on. So we got to plan.
Okay. And we're going to talk about the project, which is Envision Lehigh Valley. But first, we're going to take a short break. So stay tuned and remember 610-758-8810 if you have questions to ask us. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Cedar Crest College School of Adult and Graduate Education, offering graduate programs and professional certificates to further your education and strengthen your resume. Learn more at sagecedarcrest.edu, sage.cedarcrest.edu.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way.
And welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. And before I go on, I want to thank Ray for being my producer tonight. Ray Schwab, thanks for being here and keeping us under control. Segment of Lehigh Valley Discourse is about Envision Lehigh Valley, and there's a website that says choice versus chance, which I think is extremely succinct about what the opportunity is here. So let's talk a little bit with my guest Holly Ettinger about what Envision Lehigh Valley is.
I did mention before, Envision Lehigh Valley is kind of the public outreach part of a large planning grant and a large planning effort that we're undertaking. We are looking at developing plans around some specific areas, those areas being affordable housing, which has historically been a problem and a concern in the Lehigh Valley, that housing is not necessarily affordable, and I could talk about that a little bit more later. We're also going to be doing a study of the job-housing balance, and that's really taking a look at where jobs are, what the pay rate is, where housing is, what the pay rate is, and what does that balance look like? Where are jobs? Where is housing? We're also going to be doing a regional economic development plan, which will probably springboard a little bit off of that job-housing balance study, and then a fresh foods access plan, and a plan around energy conservation and climate. So there's kind of these, you know, five main planning areas for the Lehigh Valley at large. These are the pieces that we felt were missing from the existing comprehensive plan that we have.
That's the one by Lehigh Valley Partnership?
The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Yep, has a really wonderful document, the Lehigh Valley Comprehensive Plan, and it's full of goals for the valley around, you know, everything from watershed protection to traffic, right? So it's a comprehensive plan. And actually, sometimes when I talk about sustainability, what is sustainability? It's thinking comprehensively, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of trying to think about the whole enchilada.
The whole picture, yeah.
So those are kind of five planning areas. But then there's another big piece of this grant, and that's the implementation work that we were able to get funding for as well. And the implementation work is to help catalytic projects. And we have three catalytic projects, one in Allentown, one in Bethlehem, and one in Easton. And the idea of these projects is by spurring these neighborhood and industrial live-work projects and neighborhoods, by redeveloping them and getting new jobs and getting new connections and making things more pedestrian-friendly in these three specific locations, the whole Lehigh Valley will be more sustainable because you'll have more high quality opportunity for people to live and work and drive less and live more locally. And so in Allentown, that project is kind of based around the South 10th Street area.
Okay.
Along Martin Luther King Drive there. There's a lot of old industrial buildings, humongous old Fuller plants is there, currently vacant.
It's where Lehigh Valley Grand Prix is.
Lehigh Valley Grand Prix down that way as
yeah,
well. They
yeah.
are. They're in the old Mack Trucks building.
Yeah.
So that whole corridor, how do we bring, there's already some jobs that have been brought back there by the Allentown Economic Development Corporation. How do we continue that? How do we continue to bring good manufacturing jobs into the city of Allentown where people can walk to work and spend less time commuting on a bus or, you know, in a car?
That'd be so nice, yes.
Yeah. That's Allentown. In Bethlehem, the Catalytic Project is what they refer to as the Eastern Gateway mm-hmm. of Bethlehem, which is at the eastern edge of South Bethlehem. I kind of like to describe it as right across from the old Bethlehem Steel site, notably the New Sands Casino, kind of where the old workforce neighborhood is, right across the street from the new development that's happening.
Okay.
And so how does that currently tie together? Right? When Bethlehem Steel was running as a steel mill, the people that lived in South Bethlehem walked to work.
Mm-hmm,
and
did.
Those pedestrian connections were very simple. But as 412 and 3rd Street got busier, how does that connection look? And as a visitor coming in from out of town, you come in 412 and you go right to the casino or you go left to what is a vibrant community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Eastern Gateway is kind of the area of focus in Bethlehem.
Okay.
In the city of Easton, their project is the 13th Street Corridor.
Okay.
And at the, I always want to say southern end, but it's the northern end of 13th Street. For some reason, it's like downhill, so I want to say.
It's like South Bethlehem,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
Yeah. On 13th Street, at one end, I'll say, you have the old Simone Silk Mill,
mm-hmm.
which is eight buildings. It's beautiful, preserved brick complex, and it's set to be turned back into a work center. Right, there's a master plan for it to be a creative arts and creative industries work center. So 13th Street was the original corridor that tied that silk mill to the workforce neighborhood at the top of the hill on mm-hmm. Northampton mm-hmm. Street. So how does 13th Street function now as that corridor? Traffic, car traffic, pedestrian traffic, bicycle traffic, bus traffic, all has to fit there. And it all still has to feel like a walkable neighborhood.
Right.
So that connection, and that's kind of a what we call a complete streets project. So how do we turn 13th Street into a complete street and a, you know, kind of revitalize that corridor between the neighborhood and the new work center?
Okay, so when you say, Holly, that these are catalytic projects, are these underway right now? Are they in the planning state? Where are they?
Yeah, they are planning. They're in the planning phase.
Okay.
And each city will have its own planning process around that. Allentown's going to be taking a long, hard look at what is the market for industrial there and what real estate do they have that can house manufacturing and house commercial use. And so that's just at the beginning phases of really taking doing a study and a planning process. So, and Bethlehem's a little further down that path. They've done some planning work around the Eastern Gateway, and this grant will help them further that as well as possibly help them acquire some buildings that may be key to the process or, you know, other kind of design and engineering work.
Okay. And the Simone Silk Mill was also in thought process before this grant, correct?
Yeah, the Simone Silk Mill has a lot of planning around it. This grant is really kind of, again, focusing on the 13th Street, which is how you get to the Simone Silk Mill, and design engineering work on how to improve that street
okay.
access.
So this overall HUD grant that all the agencies that you mentioned before participated in and cooperated to get has some pieces in it that will allow some digging in. It's not just the planning part. We're digging in and actually trying to get something in each of the three cities visible for people to latch onto. Correct?
Yep. Yep. And that's why we call them catalytic, because mm-hmm. they're really going to be a real, we'll be able to point to it and go there and see it and say, this is what we mean by a sustainable community, a community that has transportation choices and job opportunities and quality neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. So are the projects supposed to be underway, completed by the end of the 3-year grant, or
Those three projects will the planning work and the engineering work will be completed by the end of the 3 years, which
okay.
is in 2 more years. You know, the great thing about these kind of planning grants and any project that a municipality takes on, like the Complete Streets project in Easton, I mean, it's the amount of funding sources that goes into that project. It comes from everywhere, right? You have the State Department of Transportation, you have local city efforts, maybe you have little county funds, or it's a myriad. This grant, by having engineering money there up front, can be used as match and leverage to get other funds to actually make that project happen. So it's really exciting. All three of these, they have a nice head start with some real good solid dollars to start adding to the project.
All right. So that's one aspect of the grant. Now, the other aspect is the research that you're doing and having town meetings, and you referenced that you were at one last night. But let's talk about these town meetings, because we need to get you out there, listeners. You know, this is your chance to really have a voice. We've never really had a voice as a community. I mean, our business leaders were very very thoughtful and very strategic in what they did in the 50s and what they did in the 80s. But now's an opportunity for us to build something that we think is important for our children, our grandchildren, to really make the Lehigh Valley something even more special than it is today. So town meetings, where have you been? Where are you going? What's happening?
We have completed about, I think, 18 meetings to date.
That's a lot of town meetings.
It's a big town. Lehigh Valley's a big town. We have actually 62 municipalities. And our goal was to be in every school district.
Okay. How many school districts? I forgot.
There are 17 school districts. And where there are large population centers like the city of Allentown or City of Bethlehem or Lower Macungie, where maybe it's one school district, but you really need to have more than one meeting to be able to capture that large population. So we had four meetings in Allentown, three in Bethlehem, three coming up in Easton. But at the same time, we've been in Wingap. We'll be in Germansville. We're going to be in Southern Lehigh.
We're in Whitehall, too, I think.
We're in Whitehall, yep. So we've been trying to really cover a lot of geography and make it easy for people. I don't think it's fair to say we want to know your opinion about the Lehigh Valley, but you must come to Bethlehem to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Allentown. I know how far away Bethlehem is or how far it seems. I think sometimes we get it in our head that Easton is so far. The wind gap, you went all the way up there, you know? So we have that mentality. So we wanted to make sure that that wasn't the obstruction to people joining the conversation. And so we really made an effort to be in all the areas of the valley. And I think the other important thing about those public meetings is they are family friendly. They're bilingual when they need to be. We have refreshments. We're trying to make it, you know, you don't have to fit in, like, I got to quick get home and eat dinner and then get over there and stuff. You know, you're going to come, have a slice of pizza, sit down, talk to your neighbor, let us know what you're thinking. So we're trying to make it really easy for people. I know it's hard. I have
schedules are full.
Right. I'm on two other volunteer things. I have two kids, and it's always hard. So it was important. We've had an average of, I would say, 15 to 20 people at each meeting, which is, I think, pretty good. We're just building momentum on this project.
Yeah, people are just becoming aware of Envision. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I was talking to you before, times have changed so much. It used to be you could run an ad in the morning call and everyone saw it because everyone woke up every morning and read the whole morning call front to back, right? That's just what we did. And we don't do that anymore. There's, you know, several news sources. Everybody gets their information a different way. And so finding, you know, getting the word out is a little more complicated now.
Yeah. Even with all this technology, it's almost more difficult.
Yeah. Well, because you got to cover so many bases.
Right.
So I encourage people, if you're listening, we are on, if you like social media, we're on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We have a great website full of a lot of this information we're talking about, as well as our survey, which I encourage everyone listening to find the survey and let us at least take the time to answer those 10 questions. We also, on our website, we are using a discussion board format. So anywhere on our website, you can click this little yellow bar and make a comment. And let your thoughts be heard, whatever they are. We in our meetings, we're very specific, though, about what we talk about. And so those have a very kind of a more formal format for input, because we want the input to kind of help inform these specific plans.
Okay. So aside from not wanting to let outsiders across the border come in, what kinds of comments have you been getting at the meetings? What can you share with us from what people are envisioning? And again, listeners, you're welcome to call and share your vision, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So what's been happening? What are they talking about?
Yeah. You know, I think that the people that are coming to our meetings are, there's two varieties. There are people who are frustrated and unhappy with their situation and with their community in some way. And they are coming to let us know that. And that could be because they sit in traffic every morning and they don't want to do that anymore. Or because they are looking for an apartment they can afford and they can't find one because it's just apartments here are very expensive. Yeah. Or, and then we have people coming who are coming because they love their quality of life, because they want to continue to make the Lehigh Valley a great place. And so they're coming to make sure that, you know, the stream that's in their backyard stays beautiful, and they're coming to protect that. And so we get a wide range of opinion and viewpoints. And I have to say that's one of the challenges is making sure the conversation doesn't get off topic. Yeah. and get into an area that is beyond the scope of our work or beyond our control, right? Like the comment of, you know, well, how do we not have the 145?
How do we close the door?
People come in. And it's like, well, we can't really control that. Yeah. We don't have a moat.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And I know that we have several facilitators helping us. Some college students from our colleges, and Rachel from Renew Lehigh Valley, and I'm sure they could tell you that every night is a different. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And we don't kick people out when they're from out of the area. We had a woman from Kempton last night, and she was great. And we let her. We didn't make her leave.
Well, she probably works or has opportunities to be in the Lehigh Valley. I mean, because Kempton's really not that far away.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about the Lehigh Valley in a very offhanded way, and I think that we take for granted, or not take for granted, but we don't really notice that there are 62 different municipalities. There's 62 different governments here, and very few of us live and work
in the same
and
one.
Shop in the same one.
Right.
Right. We all cross those town borders, those municipal borders, 10 times a day without ever thinking about it. And yet, like you said, there's very little opportunity to get involved in that dialogue about the whole region.
Right.
If I don't live in Whitehall, I don't have any say about what 145 looks like. However, I go there all the time, right? And it totally impacts my everyday.
Mm-hmm. Or you totally avoid it and you need to let people know why.
Right. So this is an opportunity to really kind of share concerns that cross those municipal borders.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, for us, what's important is that it's a way to get people engaged on these bigger goals that then will be implemented in their local municipality. And so you kind of building that groundswell of support, right? That's why the public participation is so important. It's because we want the community to have buy-in on these goals. We want the people that live here to help us make that change, to achieve that goal that they've set. And with 62 different governments, we're going to need everybody's help.
Sure.
So.
To get consistency, I mean, I'm sure across municipal lines, there are residents that have the same thoughts in each of those different municipalities. So if we can gather them together, that'll help all those individual municipalities get in a direction together.
Right. You know, the Planning Commission has done a lot of surveying of people over the years, and we know that many people in Lehigh Valley, as an example, value open space protection, right? They put a referendum on the ballot for the Growing Greener Funds at the county level, was passed with 90% approval. So we know it's a value. However, not all of us live in a municipality where we can preserve open space, you
Correct.
Know? And so I don't really have an, you know, if I live in this, in a city, I don't really have a voice in making sure that those lands get protected or that we have farms. So it's important to work regionally.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's getting more important, I think, because we can't afford not to work together anymore. And that's getting back to the sustainability. I mean, if we have 62 different municipalities, we've got 62 different administrations, all sorts of things happening. And that's a lot for a tax base to try and support.
Yeah, I'm gonna quote Mayor Panto. He likes to point out that there's, and I wish I could know the numbers exactly that he knows, and there's, you know, 7 municipalities, and there's 4 of them have their own hook and ladder truck, and each truck costs $1 million, and each municipality uses it twice a year. And so there's all this duplication for no reason, right? You know,
right.
You could have one ladder truck for $1 million that serves more than one municipality. And so how do we kind of conserve those spendings and make the economics of our municipalities a little easier to sustain?
Sure, and go further to support other needs. Well, listeners, we're going to take a short break again, but please stay tuned. You're going to be hearing more about the Envision Lehigh Valley when we come back to Lehigh Valley Discourse.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side, presenting Christmas City Follies 13, directed by J.P. Jordan, created and performed by the Touchstone Ensemble. This annual classic, yet again, reimagines what the holidays are all about with music, wit, and holiday hijinks. November 29th to December 22nd. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
And welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and we're in the studio with Holly Ettinger, and Holly is sharing information and comments regarding Envision Lehigh Valley, which is allowing us as Lehigh Valley residents to have a voice, to have our voice heard in what we think the Lehigh Valley should be looking like, functioning like in the future, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And Holly mentioned when we first opened up that there's like 4 or 5 key areas: affordable housing, fresh food, transportation, economic development. And I'd like to explore each of those with Holly to get a little bit more detail about. So Envision Lehigh Valley saying affordable housing, what is that about? Or
right. And, you know, we mentioned before that we're going to add 145,000 new residents in the next 20 years. There's a lot of people. And that equates to about 72,000 new households. So that's a lot of new homes or apartments or housing units. And
new, like brand new, or
we need new households.
Okay. Wow.
You know, so you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a brand new construction, but we may need, you know, more apartments or
mm-hmm.
something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we add households, we also think about that, like the new construction kind of question. We've had a lot of homes built in Western Lehigh in the last few years. And in the whole Lehigh Valley, houses and residential use takes up about a quarter of our land. About 26% of the land in the valley is used for residential. And so we're adding 72,000 new households. What will that impact be on our land use?
Mm-hmm.
We are about 52% open space still. So we're on that cusp of developed versus undeveloped. We are about 52% of our land is vacant or farm. And so as we add houses, as we add job centers, as we, you know, how does that impact our land use? And so that's one consideration about housing, but I think that the affordability issue is one that we knew was a big problem in 2007. The Planning Commission did a affordable housing study back in 2007 with the two counties, and we're working on updating that
mm-hmm.
and taking a look at you know, housing costs and also housing for maybe folks with disabilities or housing that you can age in place, kind of universal housing. But it brings to mind kind of what this affordable housing idea is. And the rule of thumb that we've been given or told or know from HUD is a household should spend about 30% of their income on housing. And this becomes kind of realistic or unrealistic.
Yeah, being a former banker, yeah.
The median, this is the last, as of last year, 2011 data, the median home price or the average home price in Lehigh Valley was $181,000, which, okay, $181,000 is an average, okay. Now, if you use that 30% rule, right, a third of your income, you would need an income of about $60,000 for your household. We know that most, half of the families in Lehigh Valley that way below that. Yeah. The median household income in the valley is about $56,000. Okay. So the median household in the valley can't really afford the median house. So there's an affordability problem, right? Mm-hmm. We also, that leads me to the kind of conversation about household income. So the average household income in Lehigh Valley is $56,000, that's what we said. Specifically, in Lehigh County, it's $53,000 for a household, that's the average. And in Northampton County, it's $58,000 for a household. Those are both above the state average. In Pennsylvania, the median household income is about $50,000. So we're
That's interesting.
That right? Sounds great. We're doing pretty good. We have a higher than average median household income. That's nice. Except when you really dig into these numbers, we have one municipality in Lehigh Valley where the median household income is $36,000 a year. And we have another municipality in Lehigh Valley where the median household income is $95,000
median
a year. Median.
I want to move there. Okay.
So there's a huge disparity. You know, you take $36,000 and $95,000, you average them together, and you're like, oh, yeah, about $56,000. That sounds great. But it's really got this huge inequity.
Got
right?
Both ends of the scale.
We do. So one of my favorite games to play in our public meetings is which municipality has the highest median household income in Lehigh Valley.
Okay, we're going to. Ray, do you have a thought on that?
Do we have a guess?
Give me a minute.
Okay, I'm going to say the highest is Lower Macungie or Upper Macungie, one of those.
Right. You want to guess the lowest, Ray?
The lowest, I would guess Easton.
Slatington?
Nope. The highest median household income, which is $95,000 a year, is Forks Township.
Forks?
And
my goodness.
You know, we were kind of talking about this with some folks and thinking maybe it has a lot to do with people commuting, right? Forks is a lot of
close
outbound
to New Jersey,
commuters
New York,
going
yeah.
to New Jersey, New York. And then the lowest median income is $36,000 a year for a family. That's a household. $36,000 for a whole household. And that's the city of Allentown. So that one usually people can guess. The top one is usually, no one guesses Forks. I don't know why, but... but it's a big disparity. I mean, we have very top and very bottom. And is that sustainable, right? Is that the best thing for the long term of the valley? Is that a sustainable model? Yeah. I don't know.
It would seem not. I mean, not that you can have everything equal, but you've got to have, I would think, closer measures than at the end of the scale.
So that those household incomes definitely impact housing. And housing affordability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see as the Planning Commission works through the update to the study and starts looking again at these issues that we identified in 2007, which, of course, was before the recession, right? Kind of right before the housing market tumbled. How has that affected housing affordability? And then also the other issue was identified in 2007 was this apartment costs, right? Rentals are high here. Mm-hmm. And so has that changed at all in the last 5 years during the recession?
When we say rentals are high, can you equate that? Like, are we like high like suburban Philadelphia? Or are we high like...
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I do know that we don't have enough rental properties is another issue. So that might be what's driving the demand.
Right.
And so it'll be data that'll come out in the next 6 months. So we'll be definitely digging into it.
So when this data comes out, is there going to be a report back to the community, or how, you know, you're going to gather all this stuff, then what happens?
Yeah. And so that's the process is, and the housing is a great example. We're having these broad topic Envision Lehigh Valley meetings where we have people talking about all five topics: housing, food, economic development. Then the plan is that as each of those separate plans begins to get developed, or as the data starts to be developed, that we'll then have topic-specific public meetings.
Okay.
So probably our first ones will be around our fresh food study, fresh food access study.
I was going to ask you about that. Let's talk about that and what all is going on with that
direction. Fresh food access is a topic we picked because when we were doing research to put the grant application in, we found that the Lehigh Valley has four food deserts. And a food desert is identified as an area of low or moderate income and where a grocery store is more than a mile away. And this is an issue because if you are a low, moderate income household, you may not have a car.
Correct.
And so a grocery store or fresh food more than a mile away becomes a real challenge, right? Dragging your groceries more than a mile is a little bit tiresome. So there are four of those food deserts in Lehigh Valley, east side of Allentown. Hanover Township is one of the areas. And then Bethlehem, north side and south side, both has areas of food deserts where grocery stores are more out. Now, we've had some grocery stores open in the last year or so. Bottom Dollar has opened up on Fountain Hill and, you know.
And it's off Stefco.
So how does that impact these food deserts? We don't know yet. I'm sure it's going to help alleviate that. But it's still a consideration. And it becomes a bigger consideration when you really consider the aging of our population as well. And so as we know that we're not only going to grow as a community, 145,000 people, we're going to age as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we have more seniors and we have more people who maybe don't want to drive or shouldn't
can't drive,
you know, access to food is an issue. Mm-hmm. And how does someone get to the grocery store to buy what they need? So the local chapter of Buy Fresh, Buy Local is actually running point for us on this study.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing all their data mining now. And probably in early spring, we'll have a draft report on what their findings were and what the food accessibility looks like in the valley. We'll have another round of public meetings specifically about food. I'm not promising we're going to have 24 of those about food. We'll probably know. We'll, you know, maybe have 5 or 10, but meeting people where they are, but not quite in the same neighborhood way. And so that meeting will be specifically to talk about that one topic and really delve into it and get people's goals and, you know, outline for them what the strengths are or what our weaknesses are, and really kind of start focusing on what are the opportunities and where are we going to go with this issue,
mm-hmm.
and then develop the plan off of that public input. Each topic will have that happen. Same with economic development, same with affordable housing. And actually, let's see.
Transportation, too?
Well, the transportation work is a little different. What we're doing with our transportation focus on this is really around transit, which is the public transportation part. And we have implementation dollars with going to Lanta. They came out with a really great Moving Lanta Forward plan. They did a big plan about Lanta about a year ago. And they also are finalizing a study on bus rapid transit, and they also have their transit-oriented development toolkit. So these are all really important because as we look at our air quality, or we look at the sustainability of moving seniors around, or the sustainability of moving people with low moderate income around the Lehigh Valley, this our transit agency is very critical.
Absolutely.
And they're currently serving about 1% of our population, Atlanta. We need to grow that number. And to grow that number, we need to get more development around existing corridors, around existing transit corridors. That means new housing development, new job opportunities along these existing corridors, so more riders get on the bus, and then we can increase the frequency of the buses, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a cycle.
You know, you had termed us as a metro area, and I've lived in Philadelphia, and I've lived in Chicago, and I've lived in Pittsburgh. And there, you really didn't want to have a car, you know, because it was just a nuisance, right. You know, because you just could get a bus almost at any corner, and they were relatively frequent. And so coming back to the Lehigh Valley and using the transportation system has been a little awkward to try and go specific places, and because things are spread out. And as you're saying, we have to build that corridor up so that everything is right there.
Right, right. I mean, it's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario,
right,
where you need the ridership to increase the frequency, but you need the frequency to increase the ridership.
Yeah.
You know, the budget of Atlanta comes from a lot of different sources, and if we want that agency to grow and we want that ridership to grow, we have to support it by developing near where they're already serving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where the work of this grant comes in. And so how do we get development and developers and municipalities to help us on that project, right? To help understand that when you build a new shopping center, it should be transit friendly, mm-hmm, or that it should be on an existing bus stop. Or, you know, it can at least consider when you're going to employ 49 new people, how are those 49 new people going to get to that job?
Correct. And do you want them taking up the parking of other, you know, people that might be utilizing your business?
Right.
You know, one of the things, I used to do business retention studies for LVEDC several years ago. And when doing the out in the Mukunji area with the big logistics operations that are there, the biggest problem was that they had jobs, but they couldn't get people there after like 5 o'clock because there wasn't public transportation.
Yeah.
You know, so if somebody worked a shift, they were stranded if they didn't have a car.
Well, we set up these kind of challenging situations for people. We put a job for $10 an hour on the outskirts of a city. And when you make $10 an hour, you're making $20,000 a year.
Right.
And that doesn't leave you much money for housing and car and car insurance.
And gas.
And gas. And so how does someone find an apartment that they can afford making $20,000 a year? Well, they find an apartment in Allentown, mm-hmm, or Bethlehem, mm-hmm, or Easton, or maybe the borough of Catasauqua or something, mm-hmm, right? So they can't live in the township where their job is. They can't live close to their job. So they have to live where they can afford. And then the question becomes, how do they get to their $10 an hour job, mm-hmm, when they can't afford a car? So it's a very tough situation that people find themselves in. And, you know, if you are lucky to get the shift where you can take Atlanta, you may have to take two buses, or you may have to wait 20 minutes for your bus to come.
So you start at 4 in the morning to get to work by 9.
So you're spending an hour and a half in your commute to go to your $10 an hour job. How does that impact a family? How does that impact homework getting done? How does that impact our community? It's a challenge. And you know, kind of sometimes the cow's already out of the barn.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we retrofit, or how do we do the next one smarter?
My sister lives out in Colorado near a ski resort, and they've had problems too because of, you know, the seasonal employees, and you don't pay them all year round, and what do you do? And they have a fair amount of what they call subsidized housing, and it's almost like a lottery system where you put your name in, you can only make a certain income, but you're able to have access to very nice living accommodations on a subsidized basis. And I think, I'm not mistaken, I think the business community, when they develop, has to give, you know, back to that subsidized housing scenario or fund, whatever they call it,
right,
to provide it.
I know that we have a lot of really great employment centers in Allentown and in our urban cores that will provide that transportation, right? So you can have your, you can work with an employment agency and they'll help. Mm-hmm. Shuttle, you know, run a shuttle for employees and things, yeah, like that. So there's solutions, but they're not easy.
Well, Holly, This hour has gone very quickly. I would like you to at least provide our listeners with the web address and any other contact information or anything about an upcoming meeting. We didn't hear from you over the phone line, so please make an effort to at least complete the survey and find out the information online at
envisionlehighvalley.org or .com. You can do either. And there is a button right on our homepage of envisionlehighvalley.com to take the survey and let your voice be heard. We also would love for people to find us on Facebook and on Twitter, where actually our handle on Twitter is EnvisionTheLV. We couldn't take Envision LV. It was taken by someone in Las Vegas.
I always do that when I do LV. I get Las Vegas,
But definitely we can't. You know, these plans are going to get developed based on opinion. And so if we don't hear your opinion, we're going to hear someone else's. Mm-hmm. And so you may not, you know, it's your plan. It's the public's plan. And so we need you guys to participate. Yeah. So find us on the web and look for us this summer. We'll be at, farmers markets and community fairs and maybe an Iron Pigs game or something. We're going to try to find people where they are this spring and summer. But it's easier if you find us on the website.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for listening. And Holly, thank you for being here this evening. Ray, thank you for producing. And listeners, although we're signing off for Lehigh Valley Discourse, stay tuned because Rick Weaver's coming up next with Celtic Fair. And I've been taking care-